Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This program, as those of you may listen, know that it is designed to bring to us lessons from the Bible. And our lesson today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 3. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Now the idea here is that there's an analogy of refining metals and deity trying the hearts of men. The fining pot, of course, is used in the process to free the metals from any imperfections, and the furnace is the source of heat to purge whatever must be removed to produce the improvements that are needed and desired. And the process of purifying and improving the heart of man can also be by trial and affliction and sometimes various hardships. It is by the heart, friend, that we understand. We believe with the heart. We reason with the heart. The Bible teaches that we make decisions with the heart. We think with the heart. You see, the heart is the seat of our emotions, to love and to hate from the heart. Motivations and intentions are from the heart. And that's the same as the spirit of man. That's the inward man. That's the part of man that survives physical death. And that's the part of man that shall be judged the last day. It's the soul of man, the mind of man, the spiritual likeness that we have with God, God having made us in His image, and God is spirit, and we are spirit. And this nature of God, this unique characteristic of man, makes man unique from everything else that God has created, different from all other kind of life that does exist. Now, the value of a purified heart is immeasurable. Christ said, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" This is why we must be very careful, even about our thoughts. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Why, Christ wants us to know that our soul is worth more than all this world combined. And we must be careful about our thoughts, because, as Proverbs 23 tells us, we are as we think. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. No, we're not what we think we are, but we are what we think. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth." We purify the heart. How do we do that? Why, do that by obeying the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. And that heart must be kept pure. David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," Psalm 51, verse 10. "Keep thy heart with all diligence," the Solomon wrote, "for out of the heart are the issues of life." You see, life begins with our heart. And Jesus taught, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh," Matthew chapter 12. And he began the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. And among them, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We often sing the song, "Purer in heart, O God, help me to be." Well, from these sentiments and from this array of scriptures, we can magnify our subject. The Lord tries the heart. Now, to know the heart is a power of God that man does not possess. You do not possess the power to know my heart, and I do not possess the power to know your heart, unless, of course, you reveal that to me. But only God is qualified to try the hearts of men. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to the fruit of his doings, Jeremiah 17. The psalmist wrote, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart." The psalmist wrote, "For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Concerning man, God has said to refine man as silver is refined, and to try them as gold is tried," from the book of Zechariah. God said, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." That's what he said unto Isaiah. Man may attempt to discover the hearts of others, but only God knows the heart, and only God has the power to judge the heart. From the prophet Malachi, Malachi presents God as the refiner in the context of the coming of John the Baptist. What does a refiner do? Well, the refiner holds a piece of silver over the middle of the flame and allows it to get hot in order to burn away all of the impurities. You see, he sits in front of the fire with his eyes focusing on the silver, lest the silver be destroyed. And he knows the silver is refined when he can see his own image in it. Well, this is like the way God deals with us, with trials and afflictions and hardships and even persecutions, even things that are common to man, but especially things that are hardships because we strive to be Christians. We're refined when God can see His image in us. Now, of course, we shall never equate God. We're not suggesting that. But we can become more and more like Him. Paul wrote, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord." 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yes, we can become more and more like the Lord would have us to be. Again, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto presence, a praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Friend, Peter was writing to Christian people, people who were suffering persecutions. They were in the heaviness of temptations because of their faith. Christ said we can rejoice in persecution because, as he said again in the Sermon on the Mount, "Great is your reward which is in heaven." Now, we may expect then persecutions because the world hated Christ, and if it hated Christ, it's going to hate the followers of Christ. But God has a purpose in those things. These sufferings that we may overlook, we think are hardships on us, and it is to a certain extent, but we can use them and they can become great assets and benefits to us. But you know, we often ask when something happens, why? Why, when the hardships come our way, over which we have no control, why did this happen? Why did this befall me? What did I do to cause this? Just what does God have in mind by allowing me to have these difficulties? You see, God's children live under the marvelous umbrella of God's providence. But who is so bold as to think he understands all the workings of deity in the providence of God for us? But I don't have to understand it to know that it's real. I know that it's real because in His Word He has promised it. What comes upon us may be God's way of opening doors of opportunity for service and growth that would not come some other way. And I can also know that whatever happens to me, I can handle so long as I walk with him, because as he promises in 1 Corinthians 10, there simply is no trial or temptation, but such as man can bear. Peter says our faith is more precious than gold, and that is because it is spiritual. It is rather than material. It has an eternal nature, not just temporal. You see, salvation is the end result of our faith, 1 Peter 1:9. And Paul wrote, as I have read over this program many times, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." So we don't want to be, well, like Job's wife, who advised him in his hardships, just curse God and die. We are being tried. When the soul trials come upon us, keep in mind there can be benefit. You know, athletes, they know what's best in their training. They lift weights. They push with their muscles. They face opposition. They strain. They grow better by being prepared for the race. Well, God tries us and makes us prepared for the Christian race. And we can grow and develop and detect our weaknesses, and we can thereby improve. Well, when we compare the heart of man with gold and silver, we observe that both the heart and the precious metals, they have worth by their very nature. Gold and silver, isn't it recognized universally that they're among the most valuable of all metals? And there could be no adequate value placed on the heart and the soul of man because of its exceeding worth. And just as metals must be purified, so the soul of man must be purified. You see, when we transgress God's law, and that's John's definition of sin, we alienate ourselves from God. Sin contaminates the soul, but that contamination can be removed by the blood of Christ, and it can be kept pure by the trials that we meet. We can walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We can know the quality of the heart in this way, because such exposes our convictions and our steadfastness. And these hardships help us to develop a patience and a steadfastness and a faithfulness. Ah, yes, we can demonstrate faithful living by a good heart. God tries the hearts of both the evil and the good. What he sees in the righteous brings him joy, an evil heart that's displeasing to God. We're not able to try our own hearts lest we deceive ourselves, but God is the goldsmith. He uses the heavy weights that we may be called upon to carry in order to help us to grow stronger, that we can overcome. Challenges sometimes are laid in our path. Is that not true? Heartbreak and disappointment become unwelcome companions. Blessings they can be in disguise. They can be turned to our good, making us humble and patient and long-suffering, sympathetic, determined to follow the will of the Lord. It is in this way that we can become partakers of the suffering of Christ. Yes, it's a good thing that the Lord tries the heart of his children. We appreciate you listening to these lessons time after time. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.